Well, thanks a lot for the tips you gave us in the last session. They were really helpful. And I actually noticed that yesterday I was more at ease with the practice and with myself. My mind was a bit like calmer. However, today I noticed that my mind was a bit noisy. And as I dug deeper in it, found that actually it was the same pain that you described, pain that actually was triggered by compassion for someone that I really love and care about. And that's what actually I think makes my mind a bit noisy. And the harder I'm actually aware that I shouldn't try even to resist it, but the harder I try not to try, the harder it becomes. I don't know if that makes sense.
ညံသူဟိုတစ်ခေါက်ကပြောတဲ့ဟာတောက်ကိုဖြစ်လို့သူမနည်းအဆင်ပြေတယ်ဆိတ်ကကျင့်သွားနည်းနည်းအေးသွားတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့ဒီနေ့စိတ်ကနည်းနည်းစူညာနေတာကိုကြည့်လိုက်တော့သူကအဲ့လိုပဲတယောက်ယောက်အတွက်သူ့မှာသူထစ်တယ်လို့အတွက်ပေါ့သူကတော့ကရုဏာလို့ပြောတယ်အဲ့လူအတွက်သူ
So the
not to resist is like an ideal. But if you see that the mind is resisting, it's just to know that the mind is resisting. There's no need to try not to resist.
Thank you. Yeah. And I have another question I noticed yesterday while practicing. That is there any relationship between an object and the mind, direct or indirect? Because the question actually came out when I was noticing my breathing. And I was noticing my breathing, just random thoughts started turning up in my mind that actually have nothing to do with breathing whatsoever, like me failing the math exam in high school, etc., etc. So I just started thinking, like, is there any sort of relationship between the fact that I'm paying attention to breathing right now and whatever that actually might come up in my mind?
The
mind thinks quite randomly.
And
it's always producing memories, but we're not always aware of it. But when we're quiet and we're paying attention like that, Siyadasis, then we notice all these things that the mind, that keep popping up in the mind. Some people remember things from when they were very little, when they were like infants and stuff like that. So, just know that the mind is thinking, Siyadasis. We don't have to get into the storyline. What the mind is thinking about is not important right now. Yeah, sometimes yogis have, the stillness brings up traumas from childhood or from another time in their life, and sometimes they're able to see it clearly and free themselves from the trauma sometimes. He says sometimes people who practice vipassana can, they like it's almost like going to a psychiatrist sometimes. Yeah.
The black brain has been sort of obsessing all morning about asking something really meaningful, but don't really have anything to ask. But this, like, I think this open retreat is really just as interesting as some kind of more formal, highly structured. It's really like for the life at home, it's like really inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, thanks.
You don't have to ask him any questions, you know. There's no need to ask any deep questions. And he says it's more like a discussion here, where if you tell him what you're going through, that he might be, you know, if there's something that he can help you with, he can point it out to you. That's all. How are you practicing? How are you feeling?
Yeah.
What's your state of mind?
I'd like to, maybe I want to ask something to use this opportunity. So there's this like watching, like the experience, I mean, like this organism, like blah, blah, blah. But I mean, it's not really like really good dissociation, like really good, like, yeah, but it's, and then there's this merging with something. I don't know what, but it's really powerful sometimes. But anyway, yeah, about this personal narrative, like, if I keep obsessing all morning about this, how to ask something meaningful or maybe, like, say something impressive, but we're not, like, in the Satipanna Sutra, we're not interested at all in this personal narrative,
yeah.
Right?
Right, we're not interested at all, yeah.
Yeah, 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 I'd be really obsessed with, and it's really consuming, trying to somehow heal the personal narrative. But just, it's really lovely to just let go of that. But, you know, it's a functional thing in the world. I should look at it. But it seems to be, like, impossible. Maybe there's something like, you know, brain damage or something. Like, just like, or like ADD or something. It's just impossible to function in the world for this. Or no, I'm just exaggerating. You know, I'm a bit of a drama queen, so I apologize. I just get the mic away.
Personal narratives ra nga chang. Da mae tadi pathan a thot da. Tadi pathan a thot da. Di nga chang ni ti sia a ye ma chiu ma la de. Ai ha ti jin na ma hou fu ma la. Eh hou de lu a ra ti jin na ma hou fu lu. Ai ha o shin di ha a thot na ma hou bo le. Eh tu hou de. Di saik ka de. Da mae sin sa de de. Di nga chang ma the ba ne bwa ma. Function lo lo mi ya bo no. Ba wa de ga dan ho di haio pepo impossible wa no pepo impossible di have a pa ba ne ba ma lo lo mi ya u tin ne da mae da le tu sin sa da mya lo wa chi ya tin ne le tu mic ko ba pe line kaung ma tin ne sa ka le mya ni
amma ga di process lo na le au lo da
Yeah.
The process of ngalo tene you you see.
Yeah.
Di tabawa lila ngabe.
Yeah.
Ama ngalo pera mo.
Maho. Yeah.
Dao ba blo lu ngalo sin ra ni le.
Yeah.
Ai lu. Ni lu yu tha de yu sa ne di de ke si de ha ne.
Yeah.
Dao na le
au. Na le au no.
Ngalo pera ro mo.
In Sero says, in fact, the practice, the way he explains it, the practice is meant to reveal to us how the mind creates this personal narrative. Because the practice is not about removing the personal, it's about seeing how the mind personalizes things. There is a natural process that goes on. The mind does its things. It thinks, it creates, it conceptualizes, it identifies. There's a lot of things that goes on in the mind. And then there's a personalizing of this whole process as me. And we're watching so that we see this whole process as it's doing its work, so that we are no longer pulled and pushed in all directions by this process helplessly. And the process is merciless if we are identified, you know. So we just want to see that. There is no need to. So, like you said, it's impossible to stop the process. It's true. There's no need to stop the process. We just want to understand that this is just a process. Sierra says, like, so probably languaging is maybe quite important. Like, when we think of one of the basic tenets of Buddhism is that there is no self, right? But when you just put it like that, it can feel quite confusing because there's so many ways we can think of that. But Sierra says it's more like, he says, if there is no self, then what is there?
Mm.
What is it? You know? And if we understand what it is, and then we see that there is a selfing of this, whatever is present, we see that there is this process of something going on, a process, and then a selfing process, right? So there is a whole cause and effect process. There's a web of cause and effect processes. And that's what we will see.
That, I don't know, this goes maybe, I don't know, a bit too philosophical, I'm not sure. But this
but we, like, don't discover it by thinking about it.
Right.
But merely observing it, so that there's an understanding which feels much clearer than thinking about it. Yeah.
You know, mental process and the physical process will...
Yeah. So, like, if we're part of this web, endless web of cause and effect, like, it's really incomprehensible for the brain. But is there, like, this concept of free will? You know, it's pointless. It's just a concept. So yeah, I don't even know about that. Yeah, it's just these kind of things haunt me.
Free will, Sura. Sheila, Eri has sin za line to me. Then I thought, say chow, chare.
Free will,
Sura. Koma, who are Sheila? Swan are Sheila. Moi, Diari, I call no John Joe, said the reverse, and two were Pinera.
John Joe, Swan Sago.
And the Pisopama, tell you, Yara.
So, Sierra says, if you.
Ah, two already.
So, so if you understand the processes, Sierra says that you can understand how free will can be exerted. So there is, to simplify it, Sierra says, everything is cause and effect. But because everything is cause and effect, if we understand what the causes are, we can influence the effects.
Yes.
Okay?
And although the cause is like Big Bang.
No. There's an ongoing stream of causes. So, for example, everything that's happening now is an effect. But in the moment, there's a choice to exert something in the moment, to exert, there's a choice in the moment to practice a wholesome or something unwholesome. Yeah. And because it's a cause-effect process, if what is practiced in every moment is something wholesome, then the future effects will become more and more wholesome. So the wholesome becomes more powerful. And when the wholesome is more powerful, it purifies the mind.
I've had this fatalistic house.
No, not fatalistic.
That's like wrong view.
Yes, that's wrong view. Tuo tina konua somphia pita
velu. No.
Yeah, that was
present moment. Yeah.
Difference.
The present moment is where the choices are made.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I give it.
Okay. Hope.
Yes, there is hope. There's choice. Yeah, that's it. In the moment, present moment. Yeah.
Present moment, present moment.
That's why Seattle says the present moment is important, because what really exists for any of us is always just the present moment. And that's important. The choices we make and what we choose is important right there. Moment after moment. It never leaves us. Okay.
Present is now, after now, after now, now, now. Present moment is always when. Okay, yeah.
I also notice in myself this need to say something clever or something that people will remember. Mm-hmm. And then I also notice this, the part that is kind of resisting or saying that don't say anything because you want to be clever, say something truthful or something.
To say to my tuku, Piojina, to tea there, to tweet their whole tuku, the chalu with mummy, ma, moin, a ribbon, she see the coo, Piojina, tweet there. Never now say the coole, Ello Malone, the tune, yo yo tada, be pure, now say the coo, a pure,
But there was something, or was.
That's okay.
On the last session, you said something that don't take it too personally when I was talking about this need to somehow feel better than everyone else. And, and that was actually very helpful for me, or that has been kind of changing how I or the whole practice and now how I see and how I notice and what is this tarkkailla?
Observe.
Yeah, how I observe.
Yeah.
This human being.
Yes.
And that it's been much more objective.
That view is very important. It can make the difference between whether something is objectively seen or difficult to see. And Sierra says how much we are able to use it sort of shows how much the mind already understands it. That, you know, he said don't take it personally, and you're able to actually see that there's sense in that shows how much the mind actually does understand it. In a way, you know, having seen how much the mind personalizes, you can see the opposite of it. And if you have insight into it and stuff, he says, there can be even more freedom.
Mm-hmm. But there was something also that I realized about this, when I was talking about this need to somehow be better than everyone else,
yeah.
That it's actually, like, I think it comes from this feeling or experience or this kokemus, like experience, mm-hmm. but not, well, this feeling that I'm not belonging, that I don't belong in the same way as everyone else.
Feeling insecure, feeling, not belonging.
Yeah, okay. and that I don't belong, it, and it's in, like, in this kind of in smaller situations or in, like, situations, but then also in like that I'm not belonging in the world in the same way as right. everyone else. So, and I kind of don't trust that in that.
Don't trust in that as in you don't believe that, or that makes you feel
or that unsafe. There is some kind of that, or when I'm just sitting and I'm breathing, and then there are very clear and stable moments when I also, like, yeah, when I feel that I'm very, very, like, one with everyone and with everything, and that we are the same.
Right.
And I'm you and you're me. But then, I have realized that there has been, like, in my life, yes. that this
other feeling.
Yeah, or this, which I haven't been aware of, but this feeling that I'm not belonging in this world.
Tu sei the ma tu amie luri ne ba phi phi ga bai ne bo no tu ma tu lo tu mye khan sa de re
lu
kan jo tu wa luri ne ta cha luri ne sat sain tu wa tu luri ne tu ne ma tu ru ne ma tu tu ru ne o
ma tu tha ba
ma tu bo no o belong so ra ba le
pai na
ไปนะหมอบลูกเปล่าบลองนี่มาป่ะอุ๊ยมาอาชิญพะอาชิญพะมีตาซูเยไปไปเออบลองนี่เนาะแท้มาป่ะอ่ะอย่าแท้มาป่ะอสุเว้แท้มาป่ะเปาะตูอ่ะบดุมาเนี่ยมาป่าวแล้วเอ้ยอเบ้ถั่วตะโหลเว้ตูรู้น่ะไม่ถูกเปาะเออเราไปลองไม่ผิดผู้เปาะเออเราขันซ้ําหมดสิแหละเอ้อเตียถ่ายเนี่ยตูตะคัดเลยสิทธิ์จีเนี่ยโหช่องเปาะตะโหลမျိုးเลย
ดูไรก็ดันดูเว้ยอารมณ์อ่ะตูเว้ยนี่แลง่าโหลเว้ยงาแลเออตะบอตะบอว่าตูเลยโหลไอ้เฉยมาตูขันษาปูเลยแหละเออไอ้ห่าขันษาพี่มาตูอ่ะตะแกรันตูมาจันแน่เฉยมาดีเสิทธิ์ชื่อมันตูมีนละเลยแหละดีโหลตูตะชาหลุน่ะตูเนี่ยห่าชื่อเลยไม่ตูเนี่ยห่าชื่อเนี่ยตูเนี่ยตัวอ่ะดี principle เนาะตูเนี่ยตะบอเตียก็เนาะตูเนี่ยเออนะแม่
ตัวนั้นตัวนั้นตัวกูโปรเซสนั้นตัวอินดิวิดวลเว้ยยาโหยอลุเมียตะบาวก็รอตูเว้ยยกตะบาวตะบาวรอตูเว้ยตูยกนั้นตูยกนั้นตูปรเซสนั้นตูยาโหบลูมาบลูบอกว่านี่ไม่ปั่นอย่าออมไม่อะไรแต่ชาหลุลงไปลงไม่ลงไปลงไม่เอากูโปรเซสตูคอสเซสนั้นตูคอสเซสไปกว่าตูอยู่ที่ว่านั้นตูตะบาวไม่รู้ป่ะเนาะยายาเสียรู้ซิส
You know, there's truth in both. And the way he sees it, he said, it's like, he says it's essentially true that we're all the same. Like you see, like when you see in your meditation that everybody is the same. And it's true because we're all processes, all cause and effect. Everything is governed by... governed by these laws of cause and effect. So the essential nature of everything is the same. It's impermanent, it's dukkha, it's, you know, it's cause and effect. So this essential nature is the same in everything. Everything carries that nature. And yet, Sierra says, when you boil it down to the conceptual beings that you see in the universe. So in the Buddhist cosmology, there's 31 realms. There's 31, like, different worlds that different beings live in. And there is not a single being that is identical to another. Because each being has its cause and effect process. And, you know, and we say being because what we call a being is actually the form that process has taken at this time. Because also death happens, right? And then the form changes, at least in the Buddhist cosmology, the form changes. And so it's like different beings happening, but each stream of consciousness has its own cause and effect process. It either stays in this web, or, you know, if it finds the causes for it, it leaves the web. So, but yeah, each of it is a separate, like, stream of consciousness. Yeah. So each one has its own. Yeah, each one has its own complex combinations of causes and effects that gives the present moment for each one separately. And so in that way, they're not the same, they're unique.
Mm.
But what makes up this process is the same for every single one. He says so. So if we get enlightened, it's because this process enlightened itself. If we go to hell, because this process brought itself to hell. Nobody makes us do anything or feel anything. Nobody can help to enlighten us or bring us to hell. It's all through the efforts of this process.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. A bit abstract, huh?
I think I will just describe my struggles from yesterday. So the day before yesterday, was it Tuesday? Mm. No, Monday. I had really good meditation. I had pretty consistent awareness, these nice little glimpses of Dhamma here and there, you know, one of those good days. Mm. So when I woke up yesterday morning, I kind of started my day with quite high expectations that I would continue where I left off the day before, which obviously didn't happen. And since my expectations were quite high and the reality didn't really match with the expectations, I could see the sense of boredom lurking in into my experience. And I figured out it's kind of hard to even spots when you're bored, or the boredom, it's kind of something that doesn't manifest itself so clearly, at least not for me.
Yeah.
And then when there is boredom, it's quite tempting to get lost in thoughts, because they're very entertaining. And I also noticed that after a couple of days of meditating, the thoughts, they just get visually a lot better. I have visual memories, so it's kind of almost like watching good quality TV compared to like regular thoughts outside a retreat setting. So yeah, I was continuously lost in my thoughts, and then I got frustrated. I was trying to push myself away from that, really trying to find the right effort, but I was pushing a lot. I got really tired of the process, and then somehow, I'm not exactly sure how, but I managed to get out of pushing too hard, and I kind of got the right effort,
so-called. But I think I would like to hear a little bit more about how to really get the right effort. I understood it's a combination of interest in the moment and calmness, but then I figured out that I was kind of pushing for the interest to take place, you know, kind of forcing myself to be interested in the present moment. So yeah.
To Monday ma kaunira Tuesday man myo nin ja ji ji ne no la ro ma kaun no eto tu a pien la ro pien yin sit ka twei man na ro tu a tri tha mi le de tu a na na ho anu pinya san la ma ti tu a sakhan na na ye ya la bi so yin tu a twei dia a kaun long ho poun pho bro ji ji le tv kaun kaun chi ya de lo be de eto a mien အတွေးမျိုးဖြစ်လာပြီအဲကြည့်လို့ကောင်းတော့အဲ့ဒီထဲမှာစိတ်ကမျောမျောသွားတော့သူနည်းနည်းစိတ် frustrated ဖြစ်လာတယ်အဲ့ဒီဟာတွေကိုသူစိတ်ကတိုးနေတာသူတွေ့တယ်ဒါပေမဲ့သူ right effort ဖြစ်ဖို့ကြိုးစားတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့ဒီ right effort ဖြစ်ဖို့ကြိုးစားတာဘလို့လဲတော့မသိဘူးဥတဲ့သူကသူပြောတယ်ဟိုဒီလှုပ်ရင်းနဲ့တစ်ချိန်မှာအဆင်ပြေသွားတယ်ပေါ့တစ်ချိန်မှာအဆင်ပြေသွားတယ် right effort ဖြစ်သွားတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့နည်းနည်းအရှင်ဖျား right effort ကိုရှင်းပြပါတဲ့သူနားလည်တယ်လို့ဘယ်လိုလဲဆိုတော့အမ်စိတ်ဝင်စားမှုရှိရမယ်အမ်နောက်ဘရဒီ
effort မှာညံပါလာတာright effort ကအတိအကျညံဝင်လာတဲ့ effort ပဲညံက effort ကိုခိုင်းမှာ
ညံမပါသေးဘူးဆိုရင် effort ကဘယ်လိုလုပ်ရင်ကောင်းလဲဟိုဥပမာဟိုကိုအတွင်းညာမရှိဘူးဒါပေမဲ့ညာအခုခေါ်ရဲ
ဆိုရင်ချန်နဲ့ပဲစားလာတယ်အဲဒီဒီဘူးဒုနာနဲ့ပဲစားလာတယ်
တ
ွေးခေါ်အဲဒီ knowledge channel နဲ့တွဲပြီးတော့ပဲတွားတယ်
အဲ့တော့ဟိုစိတ်ဝင်စားမှုမရရင်တော့ရိုးရိုးလေးလို့
ရိုးရိုးလေးလို့ဟို effort ကဘယ်လိုလုပ်လဲဆိုတော့ဟိုအားထည့်တာတော့မဟုတ်ဘူးသူကအရင်အားထည့်တာမဟုတ
်ဘူးတောက်လျှောက်လို့
တောက်လျှောက
်တော့
ပွားတယ် effort ကိုလည်းသူပွား
ညာည
ာတက်လာအောင်ပွားပြီးရ
ချ
ိန်ရတော့
So Sierra says the interest bit in right effort, it reflects, it's actually the wisdom component. It's not the right effort itself. Right effort is perseverance, right? And Sierra says, if we don't feel interest in the moment, Sierra says, because interest is a function of wisdom, and if, you know, the mind isn't feeling very wise at that moment, and it's not like, oh, wow, what's happening? Let's check it out. You know, if it doesn't feel like that, Sierra says, then you can intellectually, you know, you borrow wisdom. Sierra says, and borrowed wisdom can't bring interest, but what you can do with borrowed wisdom is bring simplicity. So it's just like, all I have to do now is be aware, you know, as continuously as possible. There's no need for anything to change and there's no need for anything to be wonderful. It's just a simple observation of the moment persistently. And Sierra says the right effort is just that persistence, the not giving up. The not giving up and being willing to just be with the moment. Moment after moment, you forget to be mindful, you're aware again. Oh, okay, I'll just carry on from now. You forget to be mindful, you're back. Oh, yes, there's mindfulness now, and you carry on. And that persistence, Sierra says, that also in the cause and effect chain, as you persist, it builds the right effort. And then it gains momentum.
But my right effort, wrong effort, the data. Wrong effort, nobody knows when
you
look. Through the data, me.
Yeah.
ประมาณว่าบลูอ่ะญาณก็ရှိတာမဟုတ်ဘူ
း
knowledge နေနေပဲရထားတာရှိတယ်အဲ့ knowledge နေတုံးပြီးတော့တတိထားရတယ
်
ဆက်ဆောင်တတိထားတယ်ခုနကပြော wrong effort တွေဝင်ဝင်လာရင်သူတို့တိပြီးတော့ phase နိုင်မှတတိပြီးတဲ့ effort ကတတိပြီးမှန်လာမယ်နော်တတိပြီးသဘောပေါက်လာမယ
်
ဆက်အားထုတ်မယ်ဆိုသဘောပေါက်လာမှ effort တတိပြီးနဲ့မှန်လာမှာ
ည
ချင်းဆက်ဆက်ချင်းတော့ဘလူးမှာ right effort ခါတမ်းမလာဘူ
းparents ရာလေတိတိဘရတင်ငန်းစာယူတာ
တင်ငန်းစာတွေယူလာနားလေလာမယ်အဲ့လို knowledge တွေတော့အရင်သုံးရလား
Yeah So Sierra's and
လို့အချောင်းနေတာမဟုတ်ဘူးခုမှစလုပ်ရဆိုတော
့ one of the components of learning right effort Sierra is of learning right effort Sierra said is to also know what wrong effort is and we see that a lot in our own practice one of the big ones is expectation when we practice and you saw that right? That was a huge expectation, and we're practicing with expectation, and it gives a very unpleasant result, right? And Sierra says the thing to do is to notice that expectation when we are practicing has unwholesome results. And when we notice that, Sierra says, the mind begins to learn that when we have expectation, it's not to try and push away the expectation, but to see it. To see it, and then from each episode, we learn so that the mind slowly begins to not believe so much in that expectation. And so the learning, you know, tempers the expectation. And then the mind becomes more willing just to take the awareness from moment to moment, like you said, one moment after the other, just as it is.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. That clarifies, because I think I've kind of mistaken the right effort with, or I had this idea that it's this natural flow with constant curiosity that we kind of have to aim for. But
that's when you have momentum.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. No. But when we start, it's always just very simple. It's true that when there is momentum, everything is going right. That's why momentum has built, right? But we have to work towards that. Yeah? Momentum can't just... It's not like magic. Yeah, it doesn't just come up. Mm. Yeah, it's an effect. Momentum is an effect of practicing simply for persistently.
So I've actually also been thinking about the cause and effect and the universe. I've been thinking about how deterministic is this process. Like, it's kind of hard to conceptualize, but essentially, when you talked about cause and effect through meditation, kind of that you can change your own mind and in that way change your own path. But then I have this idea in my mind that with the right mind, I can also change the world. That I want to change the world. That it's not just, I'm not here just to change my mind and to gain wisdom. Obviously, that is very, very valuable and precious. But what I would like to do with that is to make this world a better place. So I'm interested about the concept of change. What does Sedav think about that? And is that something that can be done?
So Sierra said, somebody asked this in the last retreat as well. Sierra said, it's like how effective we can be depends on how much power we have to effect that change. And that power is dependent not only on the wisdom that understands how to do it, right? Because you have to also know how to influence people. You have to know... what is practical, like what is possible, like what effect you are able to effect, you know, so that you're realistic and so then you're not also dealing with frustrations about trying to do things that you can't. understanding your goals and so on. But there's also other things that you need, Seattle says. When you want to change, when you have bigger ambitions like changing the world, Seattle says, you also have to be able to influence people to help you. You also have to be able to have the wisdom to deal with people so that you can effect a larger change. You have to have resources. So you have to also be able to influence the people who can lend you or give you the resources that can create a bigger impact. So there's many chains, there are many links in this chain. And how much wisdom does this mind have? How much of that wisdom can this mind gather, that and energy, you know? The mind also needs energy in order to put itself into all these projects, so to speak, all these different aspects of creating the change it wants to. Yeah.
So it's...
ตัวบ่เนี่ยเว้ยทีตัวยินว่าสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิกะสิก Yeah. Sierra said, so the Buddha was, you know, someone who changed his own mind first, and then, you know, slowly, bit by bit, he changed the minds of others. Sierra said, if you take his example, in the beginning, he was quite an unskillful being, and then he got depressed and stuff like that, and then he worked very hard to deal with that, and then he found that he changed. And he says when his mind became happy, Sierra says, then, you know, then there's the connections. His teacher saw his skills in being able to explain what happens in the mind, and his change, that, you know, he had effectively used meditation to do something that people talk about mostly. And so his when he went to become a monk, he didn't plan to teach, but his teacher said, what's the point of becoming a monk if you don't do something, and made him teach. And for the first 10 years, he just taught in Burma, and there was just a very small circle of people who knew about it and, you know, and practiced with him. And these people then told other people. And then people came who then wanted him to teach elsewhere. And, you know, so slow, but it began with him just changing his own mind, you know. And he says, I mean, he's not an arahant or anything. He's not enlightened, you know. But he imagines, you know, what could he achieve if he was enlightened? You know, he's managing this with just how much he has now.
That's quite a hard one to follow. I'm still on my... I haven't quite... in a sense, my practice, I haven't got to do... Yeah, thinking about that, the bigger picture. And I was just dealing today with some sort of calasis. I can't pronounce things. Always calasis, isn't it? So I've just explained it's not a pleasant exposure of my mind, but it would be helpful. The man behind me has a very, very heavy cold, and so every time he sits there, my mind goes into a reaction of quite strong aversion, contraction. I'm going to get this cold. And so I'm trying to watch the mind, but it's quite difficult to stay compassionate to the man who's got this dreadful cold, because I think I'm going to get the dreadful cold. And so the mind starts to judge him, blame him. Why is he sitting in the Dharma hall with such a heavy cold? So I'm just giving the reality of the unpleasant reality of my mind here. And so and it's true, I can feel quite heavy now. I feel a bit like, am I going to get a cold now? I'm tired. So there's a bit of reality, I think, also in that. But I mean the ideal thoughts was, it's okay, I'm going to die anyway, doesn't matter if I get a cold. Things like that, you know. Just, is that helpful, you know, just to know that this is the reality right now? This is, if I get a cold, I get a cold. So I suppose what I'm asking for is just to get how to handle sort of that kind of borderline kind of reality. Something's imposing on you. Something's really intruding on. But I know I need to just watch my mind ultimately.
Like borderline anxiety.
Yeah, kind of the anxiety, the fear of the future's coming up, about when I'm going to get this dreadful cold that he's got.
Yeah.
And also just the judgment, blaming him as well coming up. I'm just interested to that. So that's one sort of immediate issue that's I've brought today to. And then there's one other thing around memory. When the memories come up, especially if it's a memory, it's sort of, or not even a memory, a sort of even a desire realm, I'm just sort of going, no, don't go there, and putting it away quickly. Is that the right approach?
Mm.
Or does one just sort of, is one more gentle with it?
Is it quite a triggering memory?
Yes, it would be one that I can see is...
has potential negative to cause thoughts. Quite a lot of chaos.
Okay. Just how to deal with those memories, is it... to be more gentle with them, or firm, or, you know.
Okay. Tu nau ma lu diao thai ni de na da si ni de tu sik ka ayan so ye ne no di lu wa ba phi lo dama yon ne la thai na le alaw na si ni nga yauk ka ku ni nga blo lo mle nga tu pyo de takat le de myo ho nga te ဘယ်လိုကောလဲနောက်ဆုံးတင်ပါပဲနားစီးတော့ဘာဖြစ်လဲအဲ့လိုမျိုးရှောင်စဉ်းစားရင်အဆင်ပြေလားဒါပေမဲ့ဒီလူရောအပြစ်တင်ခြင်းနာနောက်ပြီးတော့ကိုအနာဂတ်ကိုစိုးရင်နာအဲ့စိတ်တွေသူမြင်းမြင်းနေတယ်ပဲအဲ့တော့ဘာလုပ်ရမလဲပေါ့
ရှုပ်ပေါ့တိနေပေါ့တကယ်လို့တိလိုက်ရင်သူကတော့လုံးလို့ရရင်တော့ရော့တော့တာပေါ့ဒါအားလုံးတိလိုက်တာဒီပဲဒီ
So the opportunity to practice. So thought arises about the man. Thought arises. Anxiety, it feels not good. Feeling the anxiety, knowing this feeling continuously, thought next thought pops up, knowing thought has arisen, come back to the feeling. And so you're going to be very busy, mindfully, being knowing that you are knowing the feeling, knowing the thought, knowing the feeling, knowing the thought, just really working on
it. Okay. If I may talk to you, I'm going to take a look at my other way, so you know, tell about you.
But if the anxiety gets the better of you, Siada says, then you'll just have to get out of the hall and practice somewhere where you don't feel anxious. Okay? It's not a problem, right? That Dharma hell is not the place to be practicing.
Rather than him go, I should go.
Yes, Siada says, you can practice anywhere. The Dharma hall is not the magic place to practice, right? နောက်တစ်ခုက memory တစ်ခုပေါ်ပေါ်လာနေတာသတိထားမိတယ်ဒီ memory ကသူပေးဝင်အကြီးကျယ်နှောက်ယှက်ဖြစ်မယ်သူမနိုင်သေးဘ
ူ
းအဲ့တော့ तू က memory တိတိုင်း तू ကတိလိုက်တယ်
တိလိုက်ပဲ
အဲ့လိုလုံးတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့ तू နည်းနည်းအခု तू လုံးနေတာနည်းနည်းခတ်မှာမှာတိလိုက်တယ်ဖယ်လိုက်တိလိုက်တယ်ဟွင်းတသားလေးတိလိုက်တယ်ဖယ်လိုက်တယ်တိလိုက်တသားလေးလောက်ပါမလား
Just
gently,
say. Memory, salam, or diga matao. Memory, sick, lo, ti, on lo.
Yeah.
Digo, a te, te, no.
A te, te, yeah.
A te, te, mandiam. Salanga, a ha.
Yeah.
Chida, a te.
Just gently, Sierra says, and not getting caught in the story of the memory.
Yeah.
Just recognizing a memory has arisen. You recognize it has arisen, and you gently say, thank you, I've recognized you. And then you go back to your object, or your anchor or something. And Sierra says, recognizing that the nature of memory, that every time it arises, it's new.
It's new.
Every time the memory arises, it has just... It's a new experience. Yes. Okay.
Because as you're talking, I realize what I'm doing is there's a fear... in yes, the content of the memory.
Yeah, just, yeah.
So that's why I'm reacting.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, the fear is always of the content, not actually of the arising.
Yes, yeah, so if I can keep it to the, see it as a memory, just pure object memory arising,
yes.
Then that's to keep space around.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would like to hear some thoughts about the mindless an object and an observing mind, because
what is your experience of it?
Yeah, my experiences are different. I have memories of clearly seeing my mind and this sensation of the mind, and I have memories of in what I experienced to be a deep meditation, I could clearly see observing mind, or me observing my mind or all my sensations and such. But very often when I sit in meditation and I decide to investigate the mind, I can't really find it. It's like...
You can't really find
it. Yeah, exactly. It's like, I know it's a simple question to ask myself. So how is my mind doing? And I go like, I don't know, it's not any particular color. It's like I go and I feel my body and I can feel sensations in my body.
And this is outside of sitting, you're saying?
No, like when I'm sitting.
Or when you're sitting.
And outside as well. Doesn't matter. I mean, this is like, sometimes I find the state of my mind quite easily, but sometimes it's just like, it's not really any character to it. It's like, so how do I feel? And I was like, well, I'm here, you know, like, okay. You know, but it's no color to it. It's like, what did I just think about? Well, I thought about that, and how did that make me feel? It made me feel blue or green or whatever. But right now, when I ask myself the question, what is my mind like? There's just nothing there.
Colorless.
Yeah,
but that's also a color. It's just colorless.
Yeah,
we don't have to call it nothing. It's just what it is.
Right.
Yes.
So.
Neutral go to a kuku. Yeah, sure. The mind can be neutral a lot.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in that sort of.
Yeah.
Neutral also that.
Neutral is a state. Yeah. Neutral is a state.
It's a good answer, and I kind of expected that answer, and I do understand. You know.
So what are you?
Yeah. So. Exactly. Good question. Yeah. When I yeah.
With you. There's always something in the moment, just as it is. And, you know, we can recognize it for what it is, which is just as it is. Like, you can, if we want to call it colorless, it's colorless or whatever, you know. But it's not nothing. It's just what it is, right? You know, and in a state of meditation like you describe in your sitting, it's going to be neutral. It's not going. There's not going to be fireworks in there right then, right? It's going to be neutral because it's like you describe quite deep. You have a sense of there's the knowing, you know. There's the objects that you know, and you know those are present, and that's the state of the mind. There is knowing. Knowing is the state.
Mm.
Our job is just to keep cultivating that awareness, just building it, Seattle says, because everything we know is covered by a veil of delusion. And he says, when we keep cultivating that awareness and it breaks through the veil, then we see more. But until, so it's always like phases, you know, phases of feeling like we don't know much, and then we keep cultivating, and then we know more, and then we go back to those phases, and then we know more. So just
experience understanding the music.
So Sierra says, right now you see what's happening, and that's the you're having that's your experience, right? Sierra says we also have to know the difference between experience and insight, right? We experience things, we are observing the experiences we're having, we're also observing the observing. All this is part of the experience. And he says sometimes we understand something about all the things we're observing, right? Or some of what we're observing. There's some understanding arises about the nature of it, some nature of it, right? And then you'll understand. You know, then there's an insight. But insights also don't last forever. You know, they'll come and then you're back to observing again. So Sierra says, the experiences are always the same. The understanding of it changes. So Sierra says, like, when you see something yellow, and if a child sees it, the child maybe sees yellow and it's something bright and it's nice. When maybe the child's mother sees that yellow thing, the child's mother sees it's gold. Maybe it's an earring. For her, it's something. Maybe for her, it's something beautiful. And even if she knows the value of it, that's all it is. She's not into trading it. But if a goldsmith saw it, he sees much greater potential in a piece of gold. He can, right? He knows how much it's worth. He knows what, you know, he can test it. He can trade it. He can change it. He can, you know, he can change the gold. So anyway, the value of this piece of yellow is different for the different minds. And so too, when this mind keeps observing the awareness and the objects, and then sometimes the insight comes, it sees something else. It sees something more in the true nature of this, something more valuable in it. So Sierra says, when we are beginners, we watch and all we see is object and mind, object and awareness. And then he says, when we've been practicing for years, we're still watching the object and the awareness. But maybe our understanding has changed. When we have insight, the understanding of the object and awareness changes a bit more and more.
Yeah, and you said this revealing the delusion, and I had that as a follow-up question in a way. Because sometimes I kind of play this game, and I might be conceptualizing, might be creating a delusion here, but in my mind it kind of brings me deeper into it's like a game of that, like all this what I can perceive through my eyes and feel, you know, this three-dimensional reality is
freedom and what?
Three-dimensional reality, as we all share, three-dimensional, like space and time.
Oh,
yeah, and I kind of use all my sense doors to perceive my reality or our shared reality to some kind of like receptor, and that's my mind. So my game is like this body actually doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. But when I close my eyes, for example, I sense it. Mm-hmm. With, you know, like my attention wanders around in my body, so I can feel my foot, I can feel everything.
Mm-hmm. You can do that with your eyes open also.
Yeah, I can do that with my, exactly. Yeah, okay. Sure. and through my hearing and everything like that. And it's like, in this game, it's not like, oh, I hear this bird 30 meters outside the window. The bird is exactly in this non-three-dimensional point of reception, but it has the volume of being 30 meters away to the right. Or, you know, I kind of play this game to see if I can get any closer to the experience of just use my senses, just like, or I think that it might, something else might be revealing that is more true than what I actually are experiencing with my eyes. And do you follow?
Kind of messy. A little bit twisted in my head. Seattle says that in the game you play, if you want to experience the reality, then you just have to be just more simple. So if you hear, you just know that you hear. Instead of thinking about the volume and the space and all that is the concept. You can't pay attention. The only thing you can know from paying attention to the concept is that the mind is conceptualizing. That's the reality, is that the mind is conceptualizing. Mm-hmm. The mind is conceptualizing. That's the reality you can see. But you can't see the reality of you know, like hearing by going into that. So Seattle says, if you want to know the reality of hearing, just know there's hearing. You know, hearing, there's seeing. And then you have to do it repeatedly. You have to do it repeatedly until the mind sees the reality. And that's an insight, usually. It's not that you, the mind suddenly understands it differently. There's a shift. And that shift happens when you keep observing. Because when we know hearing, it's a combination of reality and concept. But you keep doing it until the mind tunes in.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
I just basically continued checking whether there's awareness, whether I was on the cushion or outside walking or just resting or eating or whatever. And then the day before yesterday, I realized that there was, I think, a bit more thinking than there was before. Mm. Not just, okay, planning. How am I with that? I was watching that, and what was I feeling at that moment? And then questioning started to arise. What is this? And just then it faded, and then back to just checking, checking.
So the dishi lava chini, right? It's good to see the mind, you know, thinking, planning, all those are mental processes, we need to recognize them.
Then yesterday morning, because I have had my daily main practice has been metta since early February.
Mm-hmm.
So on the cushion, off the cushion, throughout the all day long,
mm-hmm.
investigating that effect of bringing metta in.
Right. February there to meet a tonira there. I wrote to a time, to a meet a net, meet a yet a joe period bono, like genie.
Yeah,
as long as you're mindful of it, it's fine.
Yeah,
You know that the mind is doing
this?
So you do both metta and mindfulness?
Yeah, I noticed that yesterday, because in addition to this, just checking, my metta phrases started to drop in.
Yeah.
And yesterday what I did then, I had some longer sittings and I decided to, okay, this sitting is for the metta then. Now I do more metta and used my metta phrases and
be aware of it?
And being aware of it, and it sort of, at one point it shifted into, the metta shifted into compassion.
Mm.
And there was this very nice sense of overflowing,
mm-hmm.
the compassion which I sat with for a while, just watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, say the quality of
the enjoying.
You can just be aware of the qualities.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's basically all. But I've also tried to, what I've been looking at in a way is this. That how am I practicing, how am I shifting from one place to another when there is this freedom and not bells ringing all the time. And that has been also interesting to look at.
Yeah, so to be, bell ti da ne timing, paper or teaching, time teaching, shao ma shi da teaching ma, tu ko dang, belo lo, be ching, shao le, be ching, time le, era o tu ko tu,
Sierra
wants us to see that, how the mind regulates itself. How does it make
decisions?
Because every day we make decisions, right? And now we can become conscious of how we make them, why we make them.
It has been extremely interesting option to have a look at that.
Yana says it's good for the mind to have its own internal motivation for doing things, because that makes the mind stronger rather than having an imposed schedule that we have to follow, If we only sit when there's a bell, Sierra says, then we won't sit if there's no bell. So it's good if there's no bell and we still, choose our own sitting, walking or whatever.
Thank you.
I've been experiencing a chronic illness.
Yeah.
Which...
Natasha,
yoga. 2 years ago here on this retreat, the symptoms disappeared and the doctors were not finding any reason.
Yeah.
And the effect lasted 1.5 years. Mm. And now they've come back.
Uh-huh.
So I'm here again.
I'm here. Did you stop practicing at home?
Yeah, I think it's stress related.
After stress assignment.
So but now when I look at this, I don't know what happened. And my question is how to create more awareness around the sickness and the healing out of it.
He does want to give us a warning. Meditation is not to cure sickness. If we have the healing of a sickness as a goal of meditation, it might backfire.
you know, because of the greed to have a goal, to have that, to achieve something, it might make, you know, the way we meditate might be a bit fraught. So Sera says, remember to meditate because we want to understand how the mind works. If the sickness is related to the mind, and when the mind is in a better state, the sickness can, you know, can be relieved somewhat to the degree that the mind is better, if the sickness is related to the mind, right? Yeah, but that would be a side effect. But you would, Sierra says, meditate purely for the reasons of, you know, cultivating wholesome minds, practicing the Dhamma.
Because now I've been investigating and trying to recognize the attachment and aversion and delusion around the sickness. Is that a good thing to explore?
Tuwadi yoga ne patalo tuma aswari machai dari kanzamure laichi nire elo chilo ya la.
Yes.
Yes, you can, so long. But not only related to the sickness. Sierra says you should be, because these are just the nature of the mind, you can explore them all in all other aspects of your life.
For both me,
both the wholesome and the unwholesome. Remember the wholesome. Don't forget to recognize the wholesome.
And for me it was almost like a side product, so I'm not very attached to this goal of healing myself, because last time it really happened. Without
anyone expectation,
Because you had no expectation before, The more simple the practice, the more effective the practice. when we have expectations, they really put a spanner in the works.
Then another question is could you elaborate around the relation of wisdom and intuition?
Wisdom and intuition.
Intuition and wisdom are very...
Intuition is a type of wisdom.
That's it?
That's what Sierra said.
Okay. And then I just want
to... Assumption and deluded.
Yeah, but we have to be careful, because sometimes we can't tell the difference between our intuition and our delusion, like our imagination. And imagination comes out of delusion. Intuition comes out of wisdom. If we can't tell the difference, it can get quite messy in the head.
I just want to share a fun thing is sometimes it happens, and now it has started to happen, that I wake up on the night to my own laughter in retreats. And it's very fun.
Do you know why you were laughing? Some sort of dream.
Actually, in one retreat, I forced myself to really force myself to write immediately why I'm laughing. And the jokes were so infantile, like pee and poo.
Oh, Kali. But this is the nature of the mind, Sierra says, you know, especially for those who have, like, you know, who tend to joke about these things, or, you know, have a mind that sees the absurd. Or a mind that sees the absurd in things, you know. But I mean, whether we express it or not, the mind does its own thing.
I was telling very bad jokes to myself.
Yes, but it becomes very clear. Very clear that this mind is not me. The mind is just its own thing, you know.
That's about the process. Cultivating wisdom.
Yeah.
He said that he remembers another
yogi.
He said there's another yogi who also, you know, would see how his mind would create absurd things out of everything he saw, and he could remember whatever his mind would do, and he would tell Siado about all his mental proliferations. He said he would see a brick on the side of the road and his mind would create a football field, and you know, he's like the brick is a goal, and you know, he's putting a football through it, and then he sees the lamppost, and then he's a monkey and he's climbing up it and he's reaching for something, and you know, like everything he sees, the mind is doing something with it, and he could, like, the mind is making stories out of every single thing, not just right. Yeah. But the mind
so
is...
Just stop. I'm doing that a little bit.
It's okay. Yeah.
The night dreaming. The daydreaming.
Night dreaming and daydreaming.
I thought you're the other thing can't wait. Just see China in the world.
So Sierra says, since you're laughing at night, must mean that retreats are a happy place.
Yeah, very interesting.
I don't feel that I have anything to ask. It's interesting to see things change. First days there were this strong sense of flow. Then I think expectations started to lurk in that, okay, why isn't this pleasant flow happening all the time? Mm. And then I got curious, okay, what is there? And then I could see that, okay, there is actually tiredness. I'm feeling aversion. I don't want to be tired. I want to be in this lovely, lovely state. I could see that I'm getting frustrated of physical discomfort. And it's been interesting to see these unpleasant states as an invitation to be present, to learn, and actually to include them in the process. And then suddenly they are not unpleasant anymore. The pushing, the pulling tends to get less. And somehow you're still in the pain, you're still in the discomfort, but it's not bothering you anymore.
Yeah.
And that's really curious thing to explore. I'm a big question mark. I have no questions.
Okay. Yeah, Tuma. Pertama ni account ni deh. Piro expectation ni sih deh ni. Sika, bapak lu. Oh, expectation ရှိ တော့ အစင်မပြေတော့ဘူးပေါ့အဲ့တော့ဘာကြောင့်ဖြစ်နေလဲလို့လိုက်ကြည့်တယ်ကြည့်တော့တကယ်တမ်းမအီမတန်နဲ့နဲ့ဖြစ်လာပြီခန္ဓာကိုယ်ကအေးတာတော့ချမ်းတာတော့တခုနာတာတော့တခုခုပေါ့နော်အမအီမတန်ဖြစ်လာပြီဆိုတော့အော်အဲ့မှာဒီအီမတန်ကြောင့်စိတ်ကမသက်သာဘူးဒေါသဖြစ်တယ်အဲ့ဒီဟာတွေကိုလည်းရှုစရာလို့သူယူလိုက်တယ်တဲ့ဟုတ်သိစရာလို့ယူလိုက်တော့သိစရာလို့ယူလိုက်တော့တဲ့တဖြည်းဖြည်းစိတ်ဝင်စားစရာကောင်းလာတယ်တဲ့သိစရာဖြစ်သွားတော့အဲ့ဒီအချိန်မှာမနာနာတာရှိနေတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့မနာတော့ဘူးဟိုမတွန်းတော့ဘူးစိတ်ကဆွဲတာတွန်းတာတွေနည်းနည်းယော့သွားပြီးတော့ဖြစ်တာဖြစ်နေတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့ဟိုကိုဒုက္ခတိတ်မရောက်တော့ဘူးပေါ့လေအဲ့ဒီဟာစိတ်ဝင်စားစရာကောင်းတယ် तू ကပြောတယ် question mark ဖြစ်တယ်ဟိုဒါပေမဲ့မေးစရာမရှိပါဘူးတဲ့ဟိုဘာဖြစ်တာလဲဒါပေမဲ့မေးစရာတော့မရှိပါဘူ
းဟောခန္ဓာကိုယ်ကတော့ဒီနာနာချင်းအဖကဖတ်တဲ့ဘောကဖြစ်နေတဲ့အကြောင်းရင်းလေးပေါ့စိတ်ကြောင့်လည်းဖြစ်မယ်ခံကြောင့်လည်းဖြစ်မယ်ဥတုကြောင့်လည်းဖြစ်မယ်ဟာအကြောင်းလည်းဖြစ်မယ်ဆိုတော့အကြောင်းတွေအများကြီးရှိတာတော့ဖြစ်တာအရေးကြီးတာဖြစ်တာအာယုံလို့ပဲတဘောထိုင်ရှိလို့ပဲ
စိတ်သက်တိုင်းပြီးအောင်
ပြီးတော့အဓိကစိတ်အားစိတ်ရဲ့မှန်နေဖို့ပဲစိတ်မှန်တတိတမန်ညာဖြစ်အောင်ဖို့ပဲ
Yeah. Yeah. Theater says there's four inputs, four causes for the body to be, right? Four causes. The inputs are the mind, nutrition, temperature, and results of past actions, karma. Okay. So Sierra says, but what is causing right now? We may not know, but we can be aware of what's happening right now. The only thing that can be relieved is the mind, right? The mind can, like you experience, can be free, even though the body may still be uncomfortable. Yeah, so whether it's unpleasant or pleasant, Sierra says, we keep cultivating the mindfulness so that the mind remains strong.
I want to share a story about my practice and the years I've been practicing.
Yeah.
I started to integrate meditation 7 years ago, attending my first retreat in Thailand. And on the third day, something really deep happened, and I felt, yeah, what I now think about was this kind of mindfulness, what became very stable, and also wisdom working. And so I somehow slipped into this very from 0 to 100, and it went on for a couple of months, even when I was back in daily life. yeah, this was setting up a quite high measure. And then I lost it, and I think it was because of expectations also, and try to keep it, because before that my life was also, I had some depressions and anxieties and stuff like that. And so from one day to another day I felt very happy, and it was really a playful and happy practice. And so, yeah, then when I lost it some couple of months ago, I decided to attend another retreat, and I thought, okay, I just need to go on retreat and it comes back. But of course it did not in that way. And so I spent the last 7 years and going to many retreats and practicing every day. But still, it's difficult, and still the expectation is there. Even though that I know that this is what I'm hanging on. Yesterday I've been reading about Sages in the new book, and the chapter of depression, and how he came out of it, and over the years, and trying, and go back and forth, and this actually helped me a lot, because it gave me some confidence. And I think I'm having a lot of trouble with doubt, because of this experience in the past. I always think I just need to trigger this point, and then it gets back, because it was so easy at that time. So the expectations are there, and frustration comes, and doubt comes very strongly, and I feel I'm missing confidence. And reading this gave me confidence, because I understood that it's possible to make it possible to come to back to that point of a mind that is practicing on its own somehow. Yeah, now I feel more motivation to go back and try to make it possible in daily life, which was the book also showing, that it's possible also in daily life. I don't need to ordain. Yeah, I'm happy about that, finding that he was sharing his experience. And I understood more that within his descriptions of that it took years to really make it stable. Mm. And I really want to make it stable. I really want that, because I experienced that it is possible. And for me, it was the only really goal in life to make the mind like that, like this stable kind of practice. Yeah, so far.
ဟုတ်လေညအာချင်းကအစ်ပတိချင်းလည်းလို့သူမမြင်တာသူစအားထုတ်တော့မဘလို့အားထုတ်တယ်မမြင်လို့မမြင်တော့ရန်ကောင်းကောင်းလည်းဟာလို့လူငယ်ကခုနှစ်မှာ၃ရက်လေးအားထုတ်လိုက်တာတတိယအတူအတူရှင်ရအရင်ဘဝပါရမီရှိမှာပေါ့နော်အရှင်ရပါအောင်အဲ့ဒါလနဲ့ချီပြင့်နေတယ်အဲ့ဒီမှာသူဒီဟာကြီးပြောက်သွားမှာကြောက်လို့ထင်တယ်နည်းနည်းဆုတ်တယ်လို့ဖြစ်လာတော့ယော့သွားအောင်ယော့သွားတော့
သူပြန်ရဖို့ကြိုးစားတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့အမြဲတူကလိုချင်တဲ့စိတ်နဲ့ပဲအခုတော့အရှင်ဖျားအကြောင်းဖတ်တယ်နော်အရှင်ဖျားအကြောင်းနေဖတ်တယ်အဲ့တော့သူနည်းနည်းအားတက်လာတယ်တဒါဖြစ်လာတယ်လုံနိုင်တယ်လုံချင်တယ်ဒါပေမဲ့စိတ်ကလုံးနေရမှာရအောင်လုံးလိုချင်လို့ပဲလုံနေတော့လုံးမဲ့ပုံစံပဲဆရာတို့ဆန်စ်
the first step for you
the first step for you is
to understand your expectations and how it's harming the
practice. The
thing that's in your way is the expectation and the desire to have it back right now. And when you understand that, Sarah says, then you can start practicing. So you need to understand, because when you start practicing, you had no expectation. And now all you do is practice with the expectation to get it back.
And
you have to, expectation is greed. And you cannot just watch expectation in the desire to get back that state of practice. You have to see greed in every aspect of your life. He said you see greed over and over again and see greed and how it works. And when your mind doesn't want anymore, Seattle says that's when the greed gets less and you will see it differently. So your big greed is around the practice, around achieving something in the Dharma
that you have a memory of. But
Sierra says the way to practice is not to want to get back to a state that you have in your memory. You want to move forward, not back to where you were. So Sierra says forget the past, forget about ever trying to get that state again, and just practice where you are now.
New state.
Yeah. He says, if you leave the past behind, you might have better experiences, but you won't know because you won't leave it. You won't let it go. Just let it go. Don't want it back.
Forget about the past.
Thank you. Was this a kind of advice to try to, what you said, to try to see greed and everything?
And
get better understanding of it and how it works and
yes. But I mean, basically, besides recognizing greed, Seattle says just be present in every moment. Very simply, no expectation. Just you want to know the present moment as it is, moment after moment. Just that.
Mm-hmm.
Just be simple. When we practice meditation, Sierra says we always have to watch out for greed. It's always going to come.
Expectation.
He met this yogi once in Burma who, 25 years before he met Seattle, he went for a meditation retreat where he had a lot of pain, and then he was watching the pain. One day it disappeared. And he was so happy, he loved it so much that every retreat he went in to try and make pain, like he thought that was the goal, you know, and he would go in and try, and he never succeeded, and he just, all he did was get frustrated with practice, but he kept doing it, and everybody he met, he would talk to about meditation and watching pain and how he managed to do it, and like he was obsessed with this, and then he met Seattle, and he told Seattle his story, and immediately Seattle saw it, and Seattle told him, just forget about the pain. If you have pain, just move, don't sit in pain, and don't try to watch the pain, just meditate. Meditation is not about that state, it's about being aware moment to moment. So he told him to drop that, and then he could meditate.
Sounds good.
25 years
he tried.
Yeah, this was stuck on one thing.
Yeah,
and the Dhamma is so much more than that, right? Seattle says we need, sometimes we need to hear the right Dhamma. We need to hear what the Dhamma is truly about. Get the right information. It's not about an experience or a,
Be quiet inside or outside, so totally quiet.
We'll bring that over.
He followed the tree.
Because he's named somebody.
He follow, looking for this all the time. Come back, and then he comes with you.
He was a hermit.
Yes.
There was a hermit living alone for 20 years.
Tree, big tree, yeah.
Like a tree house, he even started wearing the earmuffs to prevent the sound. He was a hermit in the forest, and then he was trying to get more silent by putting on these earmuffs. He was getting very attached to all this silence, and he finally came to talk to Sayadaw about his practice and saying how he was putting the earmuffs and that. And
it was because of he had a retreat in Thailand once, and he got to a place where his mind was totally silent inside and outside. Mm-hmm. And then he just kept trying to recreate that experience over and over everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's why he went to stay in that tree on that mountain with nobody around.
For many years. And then he meet me. Then I explain about this. Then I take off this. Otherwise, he always meditate like this.
Yeah, it's good to hear. I hope that I don't end like that.
But just the watch the mind. Like every time the mind comes, expectation, you notice, finish. No need to get rid of expectation. Every time expectation comes, just recognize. Then slowly you can see many times. Then slowly you understand it.
The fault of
the expectation. More understanding. Because of this understanding, the mind let go.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot get rid of this expectation like this.
Yeah.
You can see many times and learn from this. Because of understanding, the mind let go. The expectation finish. Okay.